Welcome on in to the Auburn Daily Show, episode one of the Auburn Daily Podcast. Lance Dahl here with you, hanging out with Dylan Lark on this beautiful Monday afternoon in Auburn, Alabama. Today, we are going to be talking about the five New Year's resolutions that we believe Auburn football should be having. Dylan, really excited to kick this off with you, man.
Me too, man. I'm ready to get into it, man. I'm pumped.
Well, there are obviously a lot of different things Auburn has to work on now that they have kind of moved on from Brian Harsin and started the new era of Auburn football with Hugh Freeze. Several things across the roster that I think the Auburn Tigers have to definitely repair. Some things off the field maybe that the Tigers need to do as far as building momentum heading into the 2023 season. Now that we finally crossed that 2023 threshold, Dylan, I think there are five different things that we've labeled that should be really important for the Auburn Tigers. Hey guys, before we get into it, just want to thank you so much for listening today. If you are not subscribed to the YouTube channel, please go ahead and do that now. Also, if you're listening on podcasts, leave us a review. We want to know what you think about the show, preferably five stars if you could on whatever platform you're listening on, but it would mean a ton to us here at Auburn Daily. Dylan, the first thing I want to get to here, and I think that this is probably on the forefront of a lot of Auburn fans' minds. You could go several directions with this, but I think developing a quarterback has to be on Auburn's New Year's resolution list this year. Now, whether that's Robbie Ashford, whether it's another quarterback in the transfer portal, not quite sure who it's going to be, but regardless, Hugh Freeze has to come in, and day one, I think what was most important to him was kind of assessing where Ashford was at. We obviously saw him immediately mention in his press conference that beautiful throw he had in the Iron Bowl, and then kind of assessing what to do with the room from there. Your thoughts?
As soon as Harsin was fired, you saw an immediate impact in Robbie Ashford's play. You could immediately see a direct improvement after Harsin was gone and when Cadillac started coaching. Like from Mississippi State to Alabama, Robbie Ashford took several steps in the right direction. And to my knowledge, I believe the transfer portal acquisitions, I think it might be Spencer Sanders from what I'm hearing, might be from Oklahoma State. We do know that Grayson McCall has now exited the portal, so he's no longer part of that. But I think that developing quarterback is a big key need to this team. I think Robbie Ashford does have some mechanics that need to be touched on a little bit in the offseason, but I think that with the Hugh Freeze-led offense and the way he is with quarterbacks, I think that he can get Robbie Ashford looking like a, I don't want to say Heisman caliber quarterback, but definitely could be in the conversation later on.
Well, I absolutely love what you said there about his athleticism. You know, I think mechanically there are a lot of things Ashford has to work on as far as his passing ability, but you see the raw talent there. I mean, you don't just stumble upon 700-plus rushing yards in the SEC after not starting the first couple of games of the season. I mean, it's not like that just randomly happens. There's obviously something there to work with. It's just the question of whether or not Hugh Freeze can actually unlock that. Like you mentioned, Spencer Sanders right now, one of the candidates to potentially come to Auburn, would love to see him in the orange and blue instead of the orange and black. I really did like what we saw out of him during his time at Oklahoma State. A little turnover prone, but of course, we don't know whether or not he's coming. Can't dive too deep into that. Also, like you mentioned, Grayson McCall, somebody it looked like Auburn really wanted, stepping back to play in Conway for another season with the Chanticleers. Disappointing that Auburn didn't get him, but again, I think this is all relative to what the postseason product is for the 2023 season. We can sit here and say Auburn needs this, Auburn needs that, but look, if they can turn Robbie Ashford into something special, I don't think a lot of people are going to be complaining about whether or not Auburn got a quarterback in the portal this offseason. Now, would depth be nice? I think a lot of people would be excited to see Auburn kind of build some depth at that position, but also, think about this. I was talking about this with somebody earlier, Dylan, making sure Holden Gariner doesn't leave. I mean, clearly when you watched him in practice last season, we got to see it up close and personal. Mechanically, we go back to Asher's mechanics needing some work. Holden Gariner was the best passer in last year's room by far. And even Brian Harsin observed that. Now, why he didn't play more is the question. But anyway, point being, Ashford has the ability to be something special for the Tigers. He has the ability to be something special anywhere. And I like what you say about the Heisman, because every time I see Ashford run, I'm like, I'm not saying it's Lamar Jackson, but darn, he's got some speed to him and he is athletic. So would love to see Auburn develop a quarterback. It would definitely go a long way. As far as like statistically, I don't think you can dive into like, well, this quarterback, whoever starts a QB needs these numbers, needs these stats, needs this completion percentage, this completion percentage, this, that, and the other. I just need to see on-field improvement. I need to see better decision-making. I need to see better mechanics. I need to see better presence in the pocket. All the different things, obviously, that make an SEC West team contend for a title. Obviously, you saw in year one with Brian Kelly and LSU, they took a transfer portal quarterback in Jaden Daniels and turned him into something really special. And all you hear about that guy is poise. I mean, he's one of the more poised, one of the more calm quarterbacks in the league, and he's a dual threat. Not necessarily great comp to Robbie Ashford, but still definitely there. Let's see. You got any more thoughts before we move on to our second New Year's resolution?
I will say, if you want to talk about comps to Robbie Ashford, I will throw in Malik Willis, who we have seen under the Hugh Freeze system, who was not a top pick in the draft. He was going to be, but we don't know what happened in last year's draft with that. But Malik Willis, as soon as he went to Liberty under Hugh Freeze, immediate change in how in his trajectory, like immediate change.
And we could see maybe an immediate change under Hugh Freeze for Robbie Ashford. It's definitely possible. And again, I want to reiterate for the final thing here. If Auburn does not get a quarterback in the portal, don't think it's the end of the world. They just need to make sure they don't get hurt at that position, and they would be fine in the future. The second New Year's resolution here, Dylan, and this honestly may be just as important as developing a quarterback. You hear it all the time whenever coaches speak, whether it's at media days, whether it's just in general throughout the offseason, through the season. Games are won in the trenches in the Southeastern Conference. That's not just true in this league. It's true all over the place. And continuing to recruit well in the trenches, specifically on the offensive line, I think is something that is very important for the Auburn Tigers through this New Year's season. Auburn has 6 offensive linemen, 5 signees, 1 transfer signed in their 2023 class. What I heard and what I think a lot of people have heard is Auburn wants to get maybe 9 or 10. I wrote over at auburndaily.com that their goal is to get as many as possible. I genuinely do think Auburn could step it up here to maybe an extra 3 offensive linemen if they wanted to kind of dip into the portal a little bit more. They've only got a couple weeks to do it. But Dylan, this is a very, very important position of need, and it's definitely a New Year's resolution Auburn has to have if they want to see on-field improvement next season.
Yeah, last year the offensive line was, I don't want to say abysmal, but it had times where it was really hard to get any momentum going because Robbie Ashford or TJ Finley or whoever was in had no time in the pocket. Now we see that, you said, 6 offensive linemen have come in from transfers and recruits. The game of football starts and ends in the trenches. If you want a good team, if you want a good season, it starts with the offensive line. And a lot of players will tell you the most important position on the field at any given time is the blindside blocker for the quarterback, which would be the left tackle, which Auburn got with Dylan Wade or some of the recruits. We also got a good center in Connor Liu. And a good center starts off that O-line, because if you don't have a good center, you're going to have bad snaps. And I think the key to this Auburn season is the fact that if whoever is starting under center has to have time in the pocket to make those reads to these playmakers. So you're right. Like you can also throw on the other side with the defensive linemen in the trenches. 7 altogether from transfers with edge rushers and defensive linemen in the recruiting portal and all that stuff. Starts there too. I mean, if you're not getting pressure, your defense is going to get tired out very quickly.
Yep. So. Yeah, absolutely. I think that when we talk about the offensive line and we talk about the importance of needing some establishment up front, that's a good point about the center position. That's something, that's a place where Auburn struggled this past season. Obviously due to injury for the most part, but also on the defensive line, Dylan, I mean, to talk about what you're saying there about the trenches, this is maybe the worst that we've seen Auburn statistically in quite some time, not from in terms of like sack production, but in terms of stopping the run, something that Auburn was really good at for half a decade there under Kevin Steele. I mean, they definitely need a boost on that side of the ball as well.
Yeah. And I can't think of all the stats, but I know 2019, you saw that the defensive line was the key factor in why that 2019 defense was so immovable. And with this year, I mean, there's a lot of star-studded talent. There was Colby Wooden and Derek Hall, but for some reason, they were not getting as many sacks as they probably should have. It was disappointing, to say the least. And we're going to get to it later on in the third one with the defense, but Ron Roberts is hammering into him. I mean, we brought in 7 players through recruiting and through the transfer portal. They want to get to the quarterback.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Something I want to randomly note here. I'm sorry, I got off track. We talk about Jaden Daniels and this LSU team. They're currently up 35-0 on Purdue in their bowl game, and it's not even halftime. So they're giving them the 2018 Auburn right now is what they're doing. So hats off to LSU, man. Absolutely dominating Purdue once upon a time. Auburn Purdue did the same
only
thing.
Only plays good whenever someone's ranked number two in the nation, I swear.
Literally, it's only that time. If it's a top five team, specifically Iowa or Ohio State, they're going to take them down. But what, like you were saying about this defensive line, and this that I want to go back to what you said about that 2019 unit. I think that this could be something that we observe here for both sides of the ball, just talking about how good the defensive line could be and then what that affects. Because I think statistically you go back and look at that pass coverage unit, that was the best pass coverage unit Auburn has had in a quite some time, that 2019 team. And a lot of it had to do with what was happening up front. It led to a lot of coverage sacks. It led to a lot of throwaways. It led to a lot of defended passes. And so I think if you can get generate some pressure up front and actually get home, you're going to see more consistency on the back end. We talked about it. We wrote about it here on Auburn Daily just a couple of days ago. Auburn's got both their starting corners coming back. They just announced recently DJ James, Nehemiah Pritchett. They got a lot of experience in that room, and it's probably going to be the strength of this this defense next year. But also, Dylan, on the offensive side of the ball, listen, we can talk all day about how important development at the quarterback position is. But if he is out there running for his life every single play, whenever he drops back to pass, there's going to be no development. You have to have some consistency up front.
Yeah, you said, like, well, you remember Bo Nix back in 2021. He never had any time in the pocket. So he always had – the LSU game was a big highlight reel for him because he had no time in the pocket, so he was just running for 30 yards to throw for a 5-yard gain, and you can't win football games like that.
No, absolutely not. And Dylan, you hinted at it, moving on to our third New Year's resolution here. You hinted at the defensive identity for this team. I think a New Year's resolution for the Tigers, it needs to be reestablished. Under Kevin Steele, and obviously there are a lot of people out there that think of Kevin Steele negatively, I think it's less about him and more about the fact of what that defense did during his time there. So focusing on that, Auburn's defense used to be a force to be reckoned with for, like I mentioned, half a decade there. They've got a new DC and Ron Roberts, and there's an expectation that this team kind of returns to form for a couple of reasons, and we can talk about it a little bit more in depth, Dylan, if you've got some notes here. But first of all, Kevin Steele, what was he good at? He was good at stopping the run, and he was good at creating turnovers. Auburn, under DC Ron Roberts, should be expected to kind of get back to that. His calling card at Baylor for a couple of seasons there, stopping the run, they were one of the best in the Big 12 in doing that, and creating turnovers. They were the best in the Big 12 at doing that, I believe, this past season. Can Auburn start to recruit some of those talents, those types on the defensive line to maybe kind of get back to where they were? I think it's possible. We have to actually see it happen. We have to see it implemented. The final thing I want to point out here, maybe in comparison to what Kevin Steele did, Kevin Steele, if I'm not mistaken, typically ran some type of 4-2-5, as does Ron Roberts. And I actually just bought a book recently of learning about the hybrid 4-2-5. I've been reading into it a little bit. Probably not because Ron Roberts and Kevin Steele used it. Maybe my favorite defense in all of college football, because it allows you to do so many different things on the back end while also simultaneously filling in gaps really well in the run game because of the way that you shift your line. So I'm excited to see what this defense could do, maybe getting back to where it was under Steele.
Yeah, and I do have notes for this. So in 2021, Baylor won the Big 12. First team not named Texas or Oklahoma to do it in quite some time. And that was because in 2021, Baylor had that defensive identity. In 2021, Baylor forced 19 interceptions.
Dang.
And they had 42 sacks in that season. And I believe both of those led the Big 12. And if you look at Auburn this past year, Auburn had 26 sacks and only had 6 interceptions.
Mm.
Key to winning games is defense. It used to be, and it still is, defense wins championships. A good offense helps. It helps a lot. But when you have a star-studded defense, you can win a lot more championships. Look at Georgia. I'm going to bring up again, Baylor won last year in the Big 12. They had the best defense in that conference, and they won the conference. And if it wasn't for injuries this past season, Baylor probably could have repeated because they brought in a lot more talent. And that's why Ron Roberts eventually got fired from Baylor, was because of all the injuries just really hurt their team. That's why they kind of disappointed. I had Baylor winning the Big 12. Had a lot of embarrassing picks for the conference champions, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I mean, key to winning games is defense. And with Ron Roberts, he wants to get to the passer. He wants to force turnovers. And that's what the 4-2-5 will do. Playing in Subway 14 a lot, that's the key, that's what I run in Subway 14 because it helps a lot.
Well, it's definitely the defense to go with. I'm right there with you. A quick question, Dylan, as we kind of move along here. What's your go-to team in NCAA 14? If outside of the Auburn Tigers, just random question.
Oh, that's a good question. If it's updated rosters, I was a big fan of Cincinnati. I had a 10-year dynasty with them, 9 championships. It was a
9 championships in 10 years. Heck, oh man, you're making Alabama envious out here.
On Heisman, by the way, throw it out there. On Heisman.
All right, he's a bit of a gamer, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, I'm right there with you as far as what Ron Roberts could do for this defense, kind of revamping things, kind of resetting things back to what they were. And again, it all comes back to, I think for me, you know, whether or not Auburn can actually go out there and get the players to actually make it happen. And I want to talk about player acquisition as another New Year's resolution here in a second. Before I do that, though, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. This season, Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks for 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers. You can predict the over-under for the next game and win big prizes if they do well. They've also got flex options, which means you can still get paid on winning only 3 of 5 or maybe 2 of 3 of your picks. And you have multiple sports within the same parlay. It's all really, really easy to use, a lot of fun. And the best of all, you can use promo code Auburn, AUBURN, to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. Again, that's promo code Auburn to double up your first deposit. So for instance here, Auburn's got a game coming up this Wednesday against the Georgia Bulldogs. I can only imagine there are going to be some point totals out there. I kind of feel good, Dylan, about maybe putting some stuff down on Wendell Green, maybe if they have some things on him, because as we all remember last time, Wendell faced off against the Dogs. He had a pretty good outing. This college basketball season, win some money with Prize Picks and Auburn Daily. Again, use promo code Auburn. All right, moving along to our fourth New Year's resolution here. We talked about it just a second ago. Player acquisition, winning the transfer portal, Dylan, I think is where Auburn will make their money this year. Hugh Freeze has talked about it. Everybody's talked about it. Auburn needs to go out there and get some of these experienced players now, because the portal is used to kind of fill in the gaps, right? It's not supposed to be how you create your roster. Ask Michigan State about that. They had one good year where they filled in a lot of different gaps, and now things are starting to fall apart because that's not how championship teams are made. Auburn this year doesn't necessarily have a choice, I don't think. I think they've got to find some different players in the portal to kind of restart things. And right now, Auburn's 25th nationally in the transfer portal class, in the transfer portal recruiting rankings, excuse me, according to 24/7 Sports. And there's only a couple weeks left. They've still got a lot of work to do, Dylan.
Yeah, and you bring it up. A good transfer portal recruiting class is just as important, if not could be possibly more important, than a high school recruiting class. We saw USC this past season absolutely destroy the transfer portal and then have they came up second in the Pac-12, but it was an immediate impact from all those players. Jordan Addison, Caleb Williams won the Heisman, a transfer from Oklahoma, and a good transfer portal class can immediately impact any team. And if you don't do it the correct way, it could also harm your team, like an Ole Miss who underperformed how we probably saw them after they came in first in the transfer portal rankings. But yeah, Auburn only has 3 transfers in right now. Dylan Wade, offensive tackle from Mississippi State, Elijah McAllister, edge rusher from Vanderbilt, and Rivaldo Fairweather, who is probably the best name in the entire recruiting class, by the way, tight end from FIU, who is a stud, by the way. He's going to be very fun to watch next season. But yeah, those are the only 3 guys Auburn's picked up right now. And I think as soon as the bowl season is over with, it's really going to pick up a whole lot quicker. And I think Hugh Freeze is going to hammer in on picking up some guys from other schools.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying here as far as there's a sense of urgency, right? Because there's only a couple, 45 days after December and whenever the early signing period is where you have time to actually go out and get these players. Obviously, there's a sense of urgency, but like you mentioned, Dylan, it's not like Auburn's out here scrambling for kids. Once this bowl season completely comes to a close, I think you're going to see some top-end talent from some of these big-time schools that are still playing right now maybe they lose a couple different guys to the portal. I think Georgia last year, you think about what they did after the national title. If I'm not mistaken, they lost 8 or 9 guys to the transfer portal just immediately after that title game. This year, could you see the same thing? It's definitely a possibility. I can definitely see a world where Georgia goes out and they try and get a transfer portal quarterback to maybe hold things over now that Stetson Bennett's gone. Because from what I've heard, they're in the market. Like, they've got a lot of different guys on their roster. They could see maybe Brock Vandegrift, Gunnar Stockton, one of those guys bounce, and all of a sudden you could be looking at a team like Auburn that's like been looking eyeing Gunnar Stockton for quite some time and be like, nope, we'll take him. It's definitely a talent-rich transfer portal once the bowl season ends, and so I think it's really important that the Tigers actually go out there and execute, and I believe they will. For instance, like you mentioned, Mississippi State running back Dylan Johnson is going to be announcing here in just a couple of days. Auburn's in his top three. Will they get him? Will they not? I don't know. But again, it's adding depth at a position that Auburn would like to have it. Running back, obviously really talented, but getting an experienced player like Dylan Johnson would be huge. But there's so many different places on this roster that you could see Auburn kind of fill in the gap. Dylan, I want to ask you a question before we move to our final New Year's resolution. Outside of offensive line, what's the biggest need for Auburn in the portal, and where should they look?
I think you have two tied for the top spot. I think it's the linebacker position, and I think it's the wide receiver position. Last season, Auburn's wide receivers did not perform up to what you wanted to see. And I think with some wide receivers like Deontay Thornton from Oregon, who I think is, I don't know where he is on his recruiting, but I think he's a target for Auburn as we speak, who could immediately be a huge target. He already knows Robbie Ashford from whenever he was at Oregon. So I think that's a key need. And another one I think is with the linebackers. Auburn is losing, I think, both of our starting linebackers, Owen Papo, and I'm blanking on the other one right now. But
I want to say Cam Riley's coming back, right? I may be wrong on that.
I think Cam Riley's coming back. But Owen Papo is going to leave a huge hole in that linebacker core. Yep. And you just need someone who is able to replace what Owen Papo brought to the Auburn defense. Owen Papo was able to fill holes, get tackles. That's why he led Auburn in tackles, I think, back-to-back seasons. That's what he does. Owen Papo is a talented, athletic linebacker, and you're going to need another talented athletic linebacker to fill in that hole.
Now, on top of that, Dylan, I agree with you. Linebacker for me is one of the biggest spots here. And I think Auburn just needs different bodies in that room, because after seeing this last year, I don't know if it was the coaching, I don't know if it was the scheme, I don't know what it was, but linebacker's been a pretty good spot for Auburn regardless of the size that they've had in that room. And this year they had a couple of guys that you really looked at and you were impressed with, like Cam Riley, 6'5". They weren't doing a whole lot, I think, in terms of production outside of Owen Papo, and even he was kind of on and off because he wasn't 100% healthy. So Auburn, I think, needs some different guys in that room. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, just a little bit ago over at auburndaily.com, Zach Blackerby, who's going to be joining us on the show tomorrow, wrote an article about a Maryland linebacker that could be a really good fit for Auburn, if you guys want to go check that article out. But yeah, I'm right there with you. Auburn needs bodies in the room, plain and simple, and the receiving core. It's a deep room. I wrote about this recently. It's a deep room, but what it's missing is a possession receiver on the outside. If they can go out and find one of those, that's a need. That is 100% a need in this offense, finding some type of 50-50 jump ball type of guy. Why? Well, look at what Hugh Freeze has done in the past with really, really big flex players, hybrid types, Landon King types. Go out and get another one that you can put out as a true receiver on the outside and let him eat. I definitely think that that's an area where Auburn, if they were to attack it in the transfer portal, they could come up with something big. The final thing I want to get to here, Dylan, before we wrap up, we've kind of gone long here, creating chemistry, creating cohesion, creating an environment where everybody feels comfortable going in the same direction, I think is very important for the Auburn Tigers this upcoming season. I think it may be one of the biggest New Year's resolutions on this list. As far as what was happening last year with Brian Harsin, obviously, as we all know, February gave a lot of different dramatic things for Auburn fans to kind of lap up, and Brian Harsin, the fiasco there, was definitely one of them. Never really had an opportunity to kind of create that cohesion, kind of create that momentum because of what was happening off the field. This season, as long as Hugh Freeze keeps everything clean, and I'm imagining he's going to have a chance to kind of build this back to where it was. And I hate to kind of bring it back to, oh, well, Gus Malzahn was doing it right. But you think about what Gus Malzahn was doing early on, and what he kind of did was establish that Auburn family identity. And I think that Hugh Freeze definitely fits that type of mold. I think you could see Auburn kind of get back to that, and they need it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, chemistry is always a big part of any football team if you want any kind of success. I mean, you want chemistry between your quarterbacks and wide receivers. You want chemistry between your center and other linemen. You want chemistry is the biggest part of a team in general. And I do think Hugh Freeze is the guy to bring a new chemistry back to Auburn, especially with he wants Robbie Ashford as the guy. He has mentioned that on multiple occasions, and he's going to do everything possible to make sure the chemistry around that offense is centered around getting everyone on the same page as Robbie Ashford.
And I think that Auburn, again, they're going to need to if they want to establish some consistency in this league. With things changing with Texas and Oklahoma moving to the league in the future, I'm interested to see what the balance shift looks like. And if Auburn gets caught in a weird spot and they are not moving all together in the right direction, things could get ugly. And I know I'm being very vague, but again, I think it starts from the top of that athletic department all the way down to the trainers, the student trainers. I think everybody's got to be emotionally and physically walking in the same direction. One person can't say, oh, I want this, and another one say, oh, I want this, and there just be a power struggle between what's going on either behind the scenes or in front, up front in person. Everybody's got to be doing the same thing. Everybody's got to be walking in the same direction. My direct quote from auburndaily.com was, sure, the Tigers can still have their 10-win one-off seasons, but until everyone from top to bottom all kick it into the same gear, the car is not going anywhere anytime soon. And so there we have it. Those are our five New Year's resolutions for the Auburn Tigers. Again, you can go check that article out over on auburndaily.com. You can check out all of our work over at auburndaily.com. And that's going to do it for the first episode of the Auburn Daily Show. You can follow Dylan on Twitter at YaBoyTheTank. You can follow me on Twitter at LanceDahl_. Make sure you check out the description for Prize Picks. Again, use code Auburn to get 100% match on your first deposit. And again, we will see you all tomorrow. I will be joined by Zach Blackerby on tomorrow's episode. Make sure you guys are all tuned in. Again, thank you so much for watching, and God bless.